Hi, it's Michelle. Welcome to this segment of Daily Bread with Jam, a Holy Spirit You Channel podcast. We are a whosoever will channel and podcast because God is a whosoever will God. That being said, we're going to hop right into it. And today I'm talking about kind of connecting the dots. So revisiting, I've done we had the episode on the power of the blood, the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the power of the crucifixion, the power of the resurrection. And now I'm talking about, I also did part one of the power of the ascension of Christ. This is a continuation of that, and in a way, it's also just kind of a checkpoint, a check-in with you. So I'm going to encourage you, if the comments are open, go ahead and please share as you see fit. In the meantime, it would help me out a great deal. I'd like to ask you the favor, please, of doing the likes, comments, subscribe, share, get your notifications, all of that. That would really help me out with the algorithm and making sure that those who need and want to see this video actually or hear the podcast actually get a chance to do that. So the power of the ascension, this is kind of a part two, but it may not be as dialed into the ascension as the previous segment, because I do want to do a check-in with you. And by that, what I mean is I hope that what I'm sharing, as always, is that you glean something out of it that helps you wherever you are. And at the same time, I think we have to be very intentional about that. When we think about the ascension, when we think about all of these different spiritual principles, remember that the overarching, what I started this podcast with was something that the Holy Spirit gave me late last year, which was, it's time to pivot out of cursing into blessing. It's time to pivot. I just kept hearing that day in and day out. It's time to pivot out of cursing into blessing. And so that's where all of this started. But the understanding that we have to have with all you're getting, get understanding. The Word of God says, with all you're getting, get understanding. And part of that understanding is knowing that we're not operating in a position of blessing, intentionally or unintentionally, because it's still a choice. So as we understand that we are supposed to be a blessing, what adjustments are you making to actually do that? Are you humbling yourself? Are you seeking the face of God? Are you seeking the Lord while he may be found? Are you turning from your own wicked ways instead of trying to point out everybody else's? Are you aligning yourself with God? Are you setting yourself up for agreement with God? Are you being led of the Spirit? Or do you have challenges in that area? Because the work of God can only be accomplished by the Spirit of God. So when we talk about any of these things, we have to understand that God is honoring himself. He's keeping his word to himself. I need you to hear what I'm saying. God is not doing any of this, quote unquote, for us. The things that we are doing and that we are benefiting from is because he promised himself. Not because any one of us is so great and glorious that we are worthy. There's none worthy but God. It just so happens that God is love. And so in our fallen state, he determined that because we belong to him, because we're part of his family, so to speak, and I'm oversimplifying it to a degree, but because we're part of his family, he foresaw that, foreknew that. And that is the basis for everything that he's done. He's honoring himself. We just get to benefit from that. Yet we only benefit to the degree that we align ourselves and agree with God himself. He saw the fallen state of humanity and said, if humanity is going to be saved, I have to give it my life. If humanity is going to be delivered out of sin, I have to give my life. There's a scripture in the Bible that says, hardly will a good man do something for another good man or good person. That's a struggle, but he's saying, I'm giving my own life to ensure, what would we say, your success. Success in the kingdom, it's eternal life. It's abiding with him. It's allowing him to abide with us. So even though we have, multiple segments that highlight different principles, which we still need to know and understand, but can only be illuminated in the way that we need to see them by the Holy Spirit, we have to also know that God is honoring himself. When I think about, and I say this because in talking about the ascension is the setup for Pentecost. The ascension of Christ, every one of these acts that Christ is not participated is greater than participated. Every one of these acts that we see Christ, that is, you know, from crucifixion to the shedding of his blood to death, burial, and resurrection to the ascension and now Pentecost, every one of these things is the setup. He's walking out the covenant between him and his Father. The only begotten Son, I'm here to do the meat of him who sent me. He's walking out the covenant. He is the manifestation of what was accomplished in heaven before the foundation of the world is walked out, manifested in and through Christ by him going to the cross, by him telling the one thief, saying, today you'll be with me in paradise, because he demonstrated his faith. Remember, this is the actual act of crucifixion, fixing, death, burial, and resurrection had not even been accomplished. But this is showing from even from Old Testament and prophecy, those that it's a demonstration of the power of God to know all, to see all, to be all, to handle all, to provide himself in and through all. He's saying, I already know why I have to do this. And just based on your belief, just understand, today you're going to be with me in paradise. He's speaking prophetically and naturally. The event will bring it about. The event of crucifixion will cause this series of other things. And because, Mr. Thief, you have expressed this thing to me while we are here yet dying in immense and excruciating and inexplicable pain, I am telling you today, you're going to be with me. Jesus is literally on the cross, dying for sin he did not commit. And he says to someone who had committed sin, no, you're going to be with me. But there's the committing of sin, and then there's the what I call the residue of sin. What I consider to be the residue of sin, in the way that it was shown to me many years ago, is that it's like the afterbirth. So when a mother gives birth to her child, or let's talk about when a mother is pregnant. We're talking about the ascension, yes, but we're talking about it from a different perspective and trying to connect some of these dots, because the ascension is the setup for Pentecost. And then we're going to talk about, if not in this segment, why we needed Pentecost. Because sometimes I believe, I sense, I feel, I see, I observe that we are flying by these things like they are just events, and they are not. They are significant in the light of eternity, and time is eternity manifested. So we see these things happening. We go into a place of, we really have to understand what is going on. Christ is honoring himself. We get the benefit. I'm not sure if we're confused by that. I don't know if we've given up. What does it take for those who say they believe to actually believe? Why are so many who claim to know Jesus walking in unbelief? He could do no miracles there. So these aren't just things that are happening. We are meant to be walking in this. But before we can walk in it, we have to have, you know, I was talking about the residue of sin. I'll get back to that. We have to have the understanding. And all you're getting, get understanding. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. We're good at quoting scripture, but the idea is not to quote it. It's to live it, living epistles. Letters written by what? The word. Have you ever seen a letter written without words? No, even in the spirit, we are the letters written by the word. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. So when he talks about living epistles, he's saying, I'm writing love letters to the world through you, living epistles. That's not accomplished without the leading of the Spirit. We cannot even collectively be good enough to demonstrate the kind of love that God has demonstrated to us, being yet in sin. So let's talk about that. What I call seriously in need of healing. We're born into that. I've said that countless times. We're born into it. But just as, and we're incubated in it. But just as a mother who gives birth, the afterbirth has to be removed from the child, the newborn, or what gave them life in the womb will kill them postpartum, after they are born. What nourished the child, the infant in the womb, could kill them postpartum, once they're outside of the womb. Likewise, and this is exactly how the Lord showed it to me, because I was confused about, if we're delivered from sin, why are we still talking about sin? Because we haven't gotten the message yet. I mean, that's the simple answer. We haven't understood it yet. So there is the spirit of sin, the spirit of flesh, the spirit of carnality, the spirit of the human nature, which is at odds with God, which God knew about beforehand, still created us with the opportunity to make choices. Of course, we failed that test. What we lost by disobedience, we have to reclaim through disobedience. I mean, what we... rephrase, scratch that. What we lost through disobedience, we have to realign with through obedience. Once we took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we became responsible for bearing our own sin, the weight of that. So we, to me, the greatest challenge that we have is really seeing an understanding that God is real, that the kingdom of God is not a theme park, that it's not a concept, that what we're dealing with, even though we cannot see it, we can see, because everything that is created was made from something that we can't see. Everything that is manifested is made from something that we cannot see. What is visible was created by what is invisible. But my belief and my sense, and has been for a long time, is that we don't treat it as real. It's not, we say we believe, but we don't then act as if it's real. That's why so many of us can casually walk around doing whatever we want to do, because we don't believe that God is real. And if he is real, he's not paying attention. Or he's asleep. The Bible says he never sleeps, he never slumbers. Not only that, he's omniscient, ever-present, and all-powerful. So what part tells us that he's not paying attention? There's no shadow of turning in him. So he sees very clearly. He is light. There's no shadow. There's no darkness. There's no manipulation. There's no coercion. He is not a human that he should lie. And we have all of these opportunities. Pivot out of cursing into blessing, the Lord is saying. I've got more for you. What are you not getting about this? And the part that we're not getting is that we can't do it. One, we treat God like he's not real. He's stupid, deaf, dumb, and blind. We don't think we're going to be held accountable, because we think that the way our systems work is the way God's systems work. Now, that could be the case, but we're not that good, meaning we are already telling people from different standpoints. That's why I'm very clear about we are whosoever will. We already tell people in different ways that they are excluded. We tell people this consistently, but God made everybody. He allowed every human that's here, that was here past, that is here present, and that will be here future. God made all, and he allowed all of us to be here. So now we're going to tell people that they can't be here, or they don't have a right to be here, or they're not Christian or believer or whatever the terminology is that we want to use, because we don't agree, or because they don't come from where we came from, they don't look like us, they don't walk like us. Whatever the issue, the excuse is, God is not having it. Because he says, I die for all. All means all. Just because we have a problem with the absolute nature of his being doesn't mean that he changes. The ascension set us up for the Pentecost. So we think that because we are here and we can see each other and we can touch and taste and smell, he says, no, all of this in the world. Is based on in the world. The world is the people. The planet is the earth. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, boast for pride of life. Pride of life. He says, just because you can see it, taste it, touch it, and smell it doesn't mean, one, that you're supposed to be guided by it. And two, that you're absolved of responsibility. Because I've given to every person the measure of faith. I've given every single person the power to believe in me. I've also given every single person the freedom of choice. And I love every single person enough to let them make their own choices. I put before you life and death, therefore choose life. So when we talk about sin being seriously in need of healing, when we are born again, going back to the principle of the child coming out of the womb and how the child cannot stay in the first of all, the child cannot stay in the mother's womb. Okay, so let's get that straight. The child can't stay in the mother's womb, and that which kept them alive, the amniotic sac, it comes out as what's called afterbirth, meaning that it can no longer keep the child alive. It's the child has been nourished through it, grown within its mother's womb through it. But now that the child has reached this point, the amniotic sac conveys or becomes afterbirth, which means it no longer gives life. Likewise, in the spirit, so we're talking about being born into this spirit of sin, being born into carnality, being born into the spirit of flesh, like we are born into gravity, so you don't have to believe it. It still exists. It's a spiritual principle. If it wasn't, we wouldn't be sitting here talking about it. So we have to be born again. Why? To shed. So we have been the amniotic sac, the spiritual amniotic sac that we are conditioned into, that feeds us, so to speak, is that which is of a compromised nature. So once we are born again, so that is, we are born into sin, all of us, everybody, everybody, all means all. We're born into sin, which means we have to be born again to move into the spiritual place or to reestablish our connection. And we have to then shed the amniotic sac that nourished of sin that nourished us. So, why do I say that? Because what does Jesus mean when he talks about the washing of the water of the word, consecration, sanctification? We express those as religious rituals, which is fine. But ultimately, the washing of the water of the word is just like when a baby comes out, you got to clean off the baby. And if you don't clean off the baby, then what happens is you risk doing either them dying or doing some long-term damage to their development. Why? Because you have dead elements on a newborn infant who hasn't developed immunities, certain immunities, who hasn't developed everything necessary for it to survive on its own. Now, why am I talking about this? Because the ascension set us up for the Pentecost, but we're not yet living in the Pentecost. We are celebrating. We can celebrate the Pentecost. People are going to dress up. They're going to go to church. They're going to look good. We're going to preach about Holy Spirit coming. But we're not living in Pentecost. And so people get confused. People, particularly people that we say we're Christian. I don't even call myself a Christian anymore. I believe in Jesus more now than I ever have, but I do not use the terminology Christian. Why? Because it's been sullied, it's been compromised, it's been used to manipulate, and not only that, we're not supposed to make that call. Jesus will tell us who has his name and who doesn't. Because one of the commandments, by the way, is do not take the Lord's name in vain. We think that means using profanity. That's not what he never said that. It means calling yourself a Christian, but then bearing the fruit of another. It means, that's what it means. If we're the bride of Christ, he's saying bearing my fruit. He's talking about what is the fruit of the Spirit, and you're using my name, but that's not my fruit. They don't look like, those fruit don't look like me. So we have to make the distinction, particularly as we interact with others, our neighbors. Our neighbors are those that are adjacent in humanity, not just the people that live down the street or across the street. We don't even talk to each other anymore. But understand from Christ's perspective, our neighbors are everyone that's on the planet at any given point in time. Every human being, we're adjacent in our humanity. And yet we act like we don't know what it means to be human. What is making that determination? The spirit that we operate in. That's what makes a determination. We're spirit first. So there's a difference between being born into sin and working through or walking through both, you know, work it out, walk it out to work it out. If you need to work it out, walk it out. Taking that walk, being led of the Spirit, does what? Ensures that anything that could hinder our development in Christ is washed off, walked off, tried off, burned off, for when they are tried in the fire, they shall come out as pure gold. He's not talking about a literal fire. We talk about this. That's why we are called that's why we are called living sacrifices. Because the things in us that are dead, spirit, soul, and body, should be falling off, burning off in the spirit as we are led through certain situations and circumstances so that we can come out as pure gold? Can we accomplish that? Nope. It's not ours to accomplish. It's ours to obey. It's ours to follow the leading. It's not ours to manipulate. It's not ours to, we cannot accomplish. So how do we expect? It's not that we don't have responsibilities, giftings, talents, abilities, but understand, your breath comes from God. My breath comes from God. So how do you take credit for anything after that if you didn't even, you're not responsible for your own breath? And I'm just trying to, what do people say, keep it 100? I never understood that. Anyway, I just thought I'd throw it in there. We talk about keeping it real, but we don't. We talk about certain things, but we don't, like, really buy in. We don't really sell out. We sell out to certain things that appear to be the thing we should sell out to, but when it comes to us talking about eternity, which I promise you is much longer than this life we're living now, even if we live whatever the full life expectancy is, I'm already past what they told me I should live at. So even if we all lived up to our full life expectancy, whatever science says that is now, I promise you eternity is longer than that. And so we have to begin to think about the fact that none of us, there's nothing new under the sun. Why is that in the Bible? Because God is telling us, I saw y'all coming. None of us is getting away with anything. None of us is going to escape accountability before God. None of us. And so why wouldn't we want to align ourselves with at least at a minimum, with understanding? You can still choose not to agree. You don't have to walk with Jesus. You don't have to be led of the Spirit, because he says, I'm going to honor my own self. I gave you the right to choose. I'm going to let you do that. But you're going to live by your choices, because I'm telling you, I'm showing you, I'm telling you, and I've provided everything you need to do it, including, first and foremost, me. The ascension prepared us for the Pentecost. We've been in Pentecost ever since Holy Spirit was poured out, and we are still here talking as if Jesus never came. Not all, but too much. Why does God say judgment starts at the house of God? Because God is not a hypocrite. He's like, I'm coming for y'all first. Because you're the ones saying that you believe, you're doing all of these things, saying you're helping people. He said, but I know the truth, so I'm coming to my own house first. That's more than we do. So we do something and we want to blame everybody else for it. God said, nope, I told y'all what to do. I showed you what to do. I've been telling you for years. I've sent my Spirit. You don't have any excuses. I've given you everything pertaining to life and godliness. All of that is in the Scripture. You are without excuse. He tells us that. And yet he keeps giving us sunrises and the significance of the sunrise, even on a rainy day, right? We can't see the sun. It doesn't mean the sun doesn't exist. And that's how we act, out of sight, out of mind. Right? God is out of sight, so he's constantly out of mind. When, in fact, the best way to approach it is God is always present, and I'm not getting away with anything. So some of the greatest lies ever told are not the ones people tell you to try to get you to do what they want you to do. The greatest lies ever told are the ones we tell ourselves. He says, be not deceived, I'm not mocked. For whatsoever you sow, that shall you also reap. And then in several places, he says, don't deceive yourself. He tells everything that we could have any challenge with, he's already told us the question, the answer, and what he's done about it. And we still find a reason. I will tell you right now, it's hard. You have days where there is pure, just like ecstatic joy, and you don't, it's just there because you come through some things. It's not even a celebration. You can just sense the joy of the Lord strengthening you. I've been through it multiple times and hope to experience it multiple more times. On the other hand, there are also days when you wake up like, what in the whole world is going on right now? Because Holy Spirit is working in you to push off and out some of that residue, some of that deadness from us, and we feel like, oh, golly day, what now? It's both. It's all. It's joy, and there's pain. Sometimes together. There are days when you feel like you are like literally walking on the water with Jesus, and there's the next moment you feel like you're drowning like Peter was. It is like that. But that does not mean we shouldn't try. That doesn't mean that we should disobey. That means that we have to really consider, really think about this. We have to really think. I'm not just talking about people that don't believe yet or people that are backslidden. I'm talking about those of us that claim to believe. Every day you got to commit. Sometimes multiple times a day, depending on what's going on. Because we're not going to see everything, although Jesus does. We're not going to know everything, although Jesus does. We have to trust and walk according to the Spirit. That doesn't mean I think I know. It means I'm waiting until being compelled. I know I'm being compelled in peace, in love, in joy by the Spirit of God to move or not to move. It doesn't mean, well, I think this is what it looks like, so let me go try this. How much damage have we done? Thinking that we are the be-all, end-all. There is one Alpha and Omega. And what we sing is that we worship you, our Lord, O Lord. You are worthy to be praised. That's what we sing. What do we live? The ascension prepared us for the Pentecost. The Pentecost comes. Now we want to argue about that. Well, this can't be the initial evidence. And who said it was this? And how do we know how many people? Really? God loves each of us enough to give us the opportunity to make our own choices. There is nowhere in Scripture where it ever says that we want to be accountable for those choices. So if we're going to school, or since we're going to school, because we're in school whether we like it or not. If we're going to school and the teacher says, class, it's going to be a hard test, but I want all of you to get 100. In fact, I want you to get more than 100. But the only way you can get 100 and pass my class is if you do these things in this order and then walk over here, follow me, do the things I do. Talk to me every day. Tell me where you're having challenges. Let me help you work them out. So if you want your degree or your certificate, these are the things I've already given. Here's the test. I'm telling you what's going to happen. I'm telling you it's going to be hard. But I'm telling you, I'm with you here every step of the way. And if you want to graduate, you got to do it my way. If we were in a regular school where we had paid our money or had something on the line, had skin in the game, as they say, we needed a promotion, so we need this certificate. We need to pass this class so we can do X, Y, Z. Every single one of us would be, okay, how high? What is it with God? And we all need to ask ourselves these questions, whether it's about God in general or about specific, like me right now. I'm asking specific things about specific areas of my life. It's not always about just believing God. It's about believing God in certain areas of your life. Sometimes it might be one, sometimes it's multiple. Where's the misalignment? Because you feel like something is off, but you can't identify what it is. But if it was a real teacher that you could see, a class you could go to, someone standing before you telling you X, Y, Z, and you know you needed that. Because if not, you'd have to take the class over or you'd never have an opportunity to do again. We would all be lined up. But it's God. So we need to ask ourselves, what do we really believe? Do we really believe God? And why do we think that God would let us do something, get into the kingdom without following his instructions? Why do we think that? Right? How have we deceived ourselves into believing that our ego and our emotions and other things and other people and all of these things can tell us that we don't have to do the things that God himself has told us to do? Is it because people wrote the Bible? Well, he always uses people. What makes us so special? We're not special. God is special. There's a scripture that says anything good in me is God. So that's where we are today. That's where I feel like we are. I don't feel like we need to keep telling each other to do things. Yeah, we need to repent. I'm not talking about that piece. I'm talking about we need to follow the will of the Lord. Follow the word of God. I don't mean I need everybody to stop and understand. I'm not telling you to go tell somebody else what to do. There's been enough of that. That's why we're here now today. By here now, I don't mean just on this podcast. I mean that's why the world is where it is today. Because everybody wants to tell somebody else what to do, but nobody wants to do their own deep work. Meaning, what's in your closet? See, God doesn't mind that people have things going on in their lives. God doesn't mind that we have made choices that don't necessarily align with what he wants us to do. What he cares about is that we're making the effort because he says, I will meet you where you are, but I'm also telling you, you're not going to stay there. But leave that to me. If you're coming to me with sincerity of heart, then I'm going to get you where I promised you I'd take you. What he's not going to tolerate is the foolishness we do, where we are stepping over our own skeletons to point out the speck in someone else's eye, log and speck. I said skeletons, I meant to say that. We are stepping over our own logs to get the speck out of somebody else's eye. That's, he's not having that. He's not having it. And so it's time for us to grow up and make some decisions. Yeah, we may have been infants, but it's time to grow. It's time to bring everybody along. We're not all the same. We all don't grow at the same rate, but we all have to have the same intent. What is our intention toward God? Everybody wants to know what God's intention toward us is. It's all through the scripture. He's told us. God is love. My intention is to love you unconditionally. It doesn't mean I'm going to agree with everything you do, and I'm going to hold you accountable, so just be aware of that, but I still love you. So you need to decide for yourself because he's already given us a spirit. He's not given anything else. That's why he gave himself, Father, Son, and Spirit. He's not given anything else. Everything we need is already here. What he's watching now is how we use what he gave. We want to take credit for so much, whether good or bad. And he's saying, well, no, the very breath you're using is mine. So you're accountable to me. And we all are. So we have to ask ourselves, why is it that it's been however many thousands of years since Holy Spirit was poured out and we're still down here trying to do things in the flesh? What do we think that we are accomplishing? Short term or long term or eternally? What do we think that accomplishes? What is our desire? What is our intention? Do we feel repentant? Do we still feel like we should repent? The answer is it doesn't matter. You get to choose, but that doesn't mean the rules change. So, the ascension is So remember, those disciples that he showed himself to after the resurrection, it finally see him or meet him in this place where he's going to be taken up. He had to show himself to restore their hope so that they would wait for the deposit, for the proof, for the empowerment, for the person of Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that is in Christ, not knowing when he would come, but that he would come. And when he was poured out, there was evidence that we still, with our silly selves, want to argue about. You can't walk in God's way. You can't be like Christ, because unless Holy Spirit is leading and guiding and teaching and helping and comforting, because he is the one that does the forming. He's the one that does the cleaning out, the cleaning up, the sanctifying, the consecrating, all of those, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, priests and kings, all positional references, sons and daughters. Think about it. What is your intention toward God? Do you really believe that God is who he says he is? Or do you just believe this is a myth we keep talking about to make ourselves feel better about being here? That's your call. It's your choice to make. I agape you. I bless you. And you, the entirety of your household, I do believe, even on days like today when it's a little bit challenging, because I'm wrestling for the blessing today. But I believe, and you have to decide if you do. And if so, then what are you going to do? Not what are you going to check to see if somebody else is doing. What are you going to do? Because Jesus confronted Peter, and Jesus said, what do they say? What do they say? Then he said, what do you say? You know why he did that? Because that's the level of questioning he's at with each of us. Because that is the accountability level we have. He's not going to be asking us about what anybody else did or didn't do, what anybody else said or didn't say. He's going to say, to those who knew to do good and did it not, to you it is sin. So some he's going to say, well done, my good and faithful. Enter in to my joy. And to others, he's just going to say, well, you have to decide. You have to decide who Jesus is to you. And then that has to lead you into every other thing concerning him, including repentance and receiving his Spirit. I'll say it again. I agape you. I bless you. I'm believing for all of us to get it together, because God is faithful who promised. My name is Michelle. Thank you for joining me on this segment of Daily Bread with Jam. I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.